The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. I hope everyone is doing well. Today we've got Elisa Lauder joining us. She's an expert in nutrition, homeopathy, and energy medicine with a special interest in regenerative medicine and women's health. An international lecturer and consultant, she has had a homeopathy and nutrition practice for more than 30 years. She's the author of Female and Forgetful, but most importantly, the author of a book out today, The Miracle of Regenerative Medicine, How to Naturally Reverse the Aging Process. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lauder.
Thank you very much.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. And as we were just talking before we jumped on air, you're right in the middle of those wildfires in California. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in California and hoping that we can get through this. You guys have just had a really rough run of things, I feel like, over the last couple of months.
Absolutely. But I do want to
definitely, I want to talk about your book, which is out today. And this is a field that fascinates me, as a lot of my audience and listeners know. We're all about, you know, the fountain of youth and trying to find it and trying to be our optimal self and how to hack ourselves and all these other great ideas that are out there in the wellness world. So tell us a little bit about your book. Why'd you call it The Miracle of Regenerative Medicine?
Well, I think that right now we're starting to see the birth of regenerative medicine, which is really a game-changing area in medicine, which is already exhibiting miraculous consequences, like getting the blind to see, the deaf to hear, people with spinal cord injuries to walk. That's pretty miraculous, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And why do you think this movement has kind of grown over the last few years, and what sort of motivated you to write this book?
Well, I think the movement has grown over the last few years is because, you know, we've become a global economy and we're now exposed to medicines from all over the world. That's number one. And number two is a lot of people are kind of disillusioned with traditional allopathic medicine in the sense of palliation or painkillers, rather than getting truly at the cause of what causes disease and illness.
That is so true. And was that true for, I know that was definitely true for me and part of my journey into this field. Was that true for you as well? Did you have a personal story that kind of led you down this road, or was it more intellectual curiosity?
Well, my exposure to Oriental medicine, I was working in the office of Dr. David Wong, who's a holistic mm-hmm. practitioner in Santa Monica and Torrance, and he had a Chinese acupuncturist, and his orientation was pretty much alternative complementary medicines. That was number one. And then my own issues with health, my hypoglycemia, watching my mother pass away from Alzheimer's, where there was nothing but essentially palliation. So I got stimulated. After my mother died, I really got stimulated into researching, of course, Alzheimer's and illness mm-hmm. in general.
That is fascinating. And one of the things, you know, that I keep seeing over and over again is as people jump into these fields is just the frustration with the system as it stands, the desire to have more options and to have more avenues to heal yourself. You know, one of the fields, you know, I'm well versed in Chinese medicine. I feel like a lot of my audience and patients understand Chinese medicine. We actively practice it within our practice itself. You know, food as medicine is a well-known mantra now. You know, homeopathy, I still think, has not had its moment. Tell us a little bit about your experience in homeopathy and how maybe that fits into the medical model.
Homeopathy has been a practice for at least 200 years, starting in Europe and starting with Samuel Hahnemann, who's the father of homeopathy, a German physician who kind of got disillusioned even in those days the way medicine was being practiced, and developed this system over years. He was so dedicated to this that his family were practically starving and living on potatoes. And he came up with the premise that illness really comes from a distortion of the vital force, that force that some cultures call energy, chi, ki, prana. And the way to heal a person is to give an appropriate remedy that addresses that distortion, and the symptoms indicate what the distortion is. It's a very complex system if you're using constitutional, but not so complex if you're using clinical. I think there's been a lot of suppression. People are trying to outlaw it because it's very cheap and works.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I get so much pushback. I mean, all these modalities, alternatives of medicine, I think there's been some pushback. But homeopathy is the one that I think the conventional community has a really tough time wrapping their head around, you know. And I'm curious, how do you integrate some of the homeopathic principles with nutrition and even with energy medicine within your own practice? You know, paint that picture a little bit for the audience who might not be familiar with what that's looking like.
Well, how I integrate it is I operate from the assumption that a lot of the physiological problems really come from the mind. And one of the chief things to address when you're prescribing homeopathy is the mental emotional state of a person. So in addition to, you know, working with someone to create a diet that works for them and prescribing the appropriate exercise, and the, you know, a good supplement program, I really address the mental emotional state. And I think specifically in this climate that we're living in, most people are very stressed out. Many people have suppressed anger, have not dealt with long-standing grief. So these are some of the issues that I have dealt with and continuously deal with in my practice.
And then you incorporate energy medicine as well. Is there a specific modality you use with energy medicine, or are you like some of the other people that I've interviewed where you can feel it and sense it and sort of intuitively understand it?
Well, the energy medicine, it's a broad category, which, you know, includes acupuncture based on the body's ability mm-hmm. to heal. I use homeopathy and Bach flower remedies and Qigong in my practice. Actually, my practice for 35 years has been very much involved in energy medicine, nutrition and energy medicine, which includes homeopathy and Bach flower remedies and Qigong.
Fantastic. And, you know, it's interesting, after having a practice for that long, incorporating all these different modalities, your new book now, you know, The Miracle of Regenerative Medicine, How to Naturally Reverse the Aging Process. Let's shift for just a second and talk a little bit more about aging. And I think into this book, you really dive into how to activate our own self-healing capacity, how to prevent illness, and how to really truly reverse aging. And it sounds like you're like me, where we believe that aging really is on a spectrum. It is reversible. We can slow it down. So with your intense and vast experience, tell us a little bit about how you perceive aging, and then we'll get into some of the more cutting edge things that are happening today.
Well, aging is a natural process. Everything and everybody ages, but not everybody and everything ages at the same rate and with the same disabilities. It's possible to live to over 100 and still be active. My father just passed away, and he was 102, and he was walking and active. His mind was sharp, and I really attribute it to growing up with wholesome, and he grew up in Turkey, wholesome and organic foods and working hard and exercising and not being overweight and controlling stress. So I think these are some of the factors that we need to take into consideration to modify or, you know, change the way we age ourselves.
So his focus was food. Do you find that that is a recurring theme when it comes to aging? It's the quality of our food or the sourcing of our food that is one of the biggest factors. You know, it's kind of funny right now in the news, they're talking a lot about Trump and his diet of 12 Diet Cokes a day, and also all that other, because his fast food diet and his favorite places I was watching this morning are McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, again, it's just a testament to Western culture and Western food. We do have this mass movement. But is that, do you feel like that is the place where all of us need to start when we're thinking about reversing aging? It starts with food?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really think it's the root. It's kind of like the soil in your garden or in a flower pot. If that's not healthy, the plant's not going to be healthy. So I think it's a really good place to start. And it's not that easy in this country. It's much easier in third world countries where things are organic and healthful and they can't afford the pesticides that we use so much in our food. So I think diet is a start, and I do have a chapter in my book on food, which goes into the healthiest people all over the world and what they eat and why. I think, yeah, when you look at food, you have to see what's time-proven, because every day there's a new diet. And should it be vegan?
Right,
should
so
it be
true.
Vegetarian? Should it be paleo? Should it be raw? And I think we need to look at history and tradition, because history has proven to us that the long-lived people and the healthiest people and the hardest workers come from a diet of whole foods, locally grown, pretty much organic, and definitely unprocessed.
Wow. And, you know, the sad part about that is I feel like in those, third world, non-industrialized regions, however we want to refer to them, I feel like the Western culture is spreading there rapidly. And the other thing I've noticed in practice, which is really disturbing, is, you know, we do a lot of energy testing here as well. And one of the things that keeps coming up, even in my healthiest of patients, is glyphosate and herbicides and pesticides, just showing how even to a certain extent, like I can't imagine what it's like for the people that don't try, but for those of us that are trying, is still showing up in our system. So again, having and getting food right, understanding how to clean some of the stuff out of our system, I think is essential. And I'm so excited that you include that as well. I would say after food, what are some other things, if we really want to be thinking about activating our self-healing and reversing aging, what are some other things we should all be doing and thinking about that are just general 101 rules to reversing the aging process?
I think we all need to be thinking about some sort of exercise, and it doesn't mean you have to go to a boring gym and lift weights, but something, walking outside for 20 minutes, going for a swim, taking a yoga class, doing something that resonates to you and that makes you happy and that you look forward to, dancing, taking Zumba classes, whatever works. So we have to be active as well as eat a good diet. And a lot of people have a misconception that once they are older and they're retired, they can sit back in the recliner and watch television and eat whatever they want.
Right. No, retirement is not a pass to engage in behaviors you've avoided your whole life. So, yeah, I mean, I do see that a lot, too. And, that can contribute as well to what you call the Alzheimer's epidemic. And I know you've written about that and talked about that a good bit. But I agree. And, you know, and it's what we see in practice. And I'm sure what you see as well, that if we're talking about reversing aging, if we're talking about preventing the diseases, you know, that come with age sometimes, especially something like Alzheimer, it's food and movement and happiness are probably your three most critical essential ingredients. And before we even dive in just a second into talking about some of the kind of new cutting edge, you know, sort of fancy things, without that, you honestly have nothing. So I think stressing that message over and over again and understanding that those are the critical ingredients before we move any further. When it comes to some of the things that are newer, you know, talk us through. I'm fascinated by this stuff, and I've been dying to learn more. It's not my strength. I would love to learn more and get more educated on this. But what is the role of stem cells and epigenetics and all of this other, and detoxification? What is the role of some of this stuff when it comes to reversing the aging process? I think stem cells in particular is something that fascinates me, and I just want to learn so much more about.
Yes. Stem cells are now being used, and I must say that we're very far behind other countries. Last December, I was in the stem cell forum that was taking place in Miami, where it was 140 countries were being represented there, and they are out acknowledging us by leaps and bounds, particularly in Japan. Stem cells are the way of the future. I was talking to a man in my gym who had degenerative arthritis of the ankle, and he had surgery after surgery, and he finally found a doctor in Santa Monica, and he got stem cell infusions. And it wasn't his own autogenous stem cells, but it was actually embryonic. I saw him yesterday after not seeing him for a long time, and he had a lot of mobility. He was doing really, really well. So I think stem cells are going to be used in a much broader sense. When I talked about the people who are paralyzed being able to walk, this is something we're going to see. I think we're going to see that people who had diseases that were formerly deadly and non-curable, they're going to be healed and cured by stem cells. Taking a cell from your own body or from bone marrow or from fat and tweaking it so it becomes a specific cell. And some doctors are even using it neurologically, injecting it into the blood where it becomes a neurological cell and actually helps heal the ravages of Alzheimer's. So this is a very exciting time to be alive and a very exciting time, in my opinion, to delve into the field of regenerative medicine, because the way things were approached in the past where, okay, your knee is bothering you, yes, you have bone-on-bone arthritis, let's give you a new knee. Now it's like, okay, let's try PRP injection before we jump into that. So I think that with all of this new technology, it behooves the patient to seek out or source out doctors who are open to this kind of thing rather than jumping so quickly into the old way of healing things. They're even using stem cells injections into the heart for congenital heart disease.
So fascinating.
This is very interesting to me.
Yeah. What other than stem cells, you know, and actually before we move away from stem cells, what are like maybe the top three conditions that you see stem cell therapies used for?
I think stem cell therapy is used for physiological things like hip, instead of getting hip replacement, knees, knee replacement. A lot of the professional athletes, I don't read the sports section, my husband does, and he tells me a lot of the professional athletes used to get surgery, like a ball player's on their shoulders, on their elbows, and now are opting for stem cells. In fact, at the conference in Miami, they even mentioned the fact that a lot of the athletes are having this written into their contract versus cortisone injections.
Fantastic. I love it. Other than stem cells, what are some other new therapies, new modalities? You mentioned PRP. You know, let's talk about that for just a second. Anything else that you feel like is on the horizon that, you know, my audience needs to start learning the lingo and understanding the language so they can start asking those questions of their physicians and of their medical team?
I think one of the most exciting fields that actually Dr. Bach knew about in the 1900s is the idea of the intestinal microbiome, or the bacteria that inhabit your intestines, being very involved in not only disease but mental, emotional states. And the very fact that people are paying attention to this now, and illnesses like Crohn's disease are being cured with fecal transplant, gets us to start looking at the intestines as an organ that needs to be looked at in greater detail. And I think how this translates into the future of medicine is that people will be prescribed a specific probiotic for their condition, like diabetes or arthritis or heart disease. So I think this is a very exciting field, in my opinion. And this
I agree,
is why, if you actually look back in traditional cultures, every culture in the world has fermented foods. Kimchi,
yes,
in Japan.
Yes, they do, yep.
Right?
Yes.
Russia has yogurt. You know, Middle Eastern countries have kefir and you know, many other fermented-type foods, fermented vegetables. Even in Mexico, fermented vegetables. So I think intuitively people knew about the bacteria in fermentation, but didn't quite know what, you know, they didn't have the knowledge that we have today. In fact, they did studies and they found recently that children who are on the autism spectrum disorder actually have different intestinal bacteria. Now, wouldn't that be nice if it were cured through probiotics,
prebiotics? Definitely. You know, and we do a test in practice where they do a lot of microbiome identification. But I always tell my patients, my dream is where I can take each of these different microbiome species and there's a probiotic developed for each of them to help combat specific diseases. And I really agree with you. I think that's the wave of the future. Well, one of the things, too, I'd love for, you know, we're talking about aging. We're talking about how to reverse the aging process, everything from understanding that it starts with food, it starts with movement, it starts with happiness and joy, and then moves into the world of cutting-edge research and technologies like stem cell therapies or even PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma therapy that helps to inject this protein-rich and platelet-rich basically cocktail into different joints and areas where you need them. You know, all of it kind of sums up and adds up to halting aging, stopping aging. What do you think people that are on the cusp of retiring or retiring, what do you think is the biggest misconception that they have or the lie they tell themselves about their health and about the aging process?
Well, they tell themselves that getting old and decrepit and frail are part of the aging process because they've looked at their parents and their grandparents. Too bad we're on radio and not television. I would show you pictures of my grandparents. Uh-huh. And they were my age, and they were really old people. So that's one thing, that this is a natural part of life and aging, and there's nothing that can be done about it. That's number one. And number two is, as I mentioned before, I can do it. I've earned this. I can do whatever I want now because I'm old, I'm retired. I've seen things on Facebook. Well, I'm old now, I'm retired. I can eat whatever I want. I can have dessert every day. Well, no, you can't unless you're prepared for the consequences.
So this is really a new way of thinking. This is a paradigm shift. Age is not a number. I have so many patients that tell me that, like, well, it's because I'm aging. We want to really change that dialogue. We want everybody out there to understand that you're in control of the aging process. Aging is on a spectrum. It's a continuum. You have the power to halt it. It starts with simple things like food and movement and happiness, and more complex therapies and options, everything from stem cells to PRP, ozone, you know, the microbiome and the trying to match all of that. But just remember, the power is in your own hands. Dr. Lauder, I really appreciate you joining me today. Guys, get her book. It's out today, The Miracle of Regenerative Medicine, How to Naturally Reverse the Aging Process. I know I want a copy, and I encourage all of you guys to get one too. Dr. Lauder, thank you so much. And if my audience wants to connect with you, what's the best way they can find you?
Probably on Facebook.
All right. And that Facebook handle is?
The Miracle of Regenerative Medicine.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, thank you for joining us. Good luck with your book.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Dr. Lott.